Partaking of the Passover lamb is my message tonight. Jesus sits down with his disciples. There's still 12 of them for the reason of celebrating the Passover feast that all good Jews celebrated, and they still celebrate to this day. The implication of the Passover meal, I think, has a tremendous impact. It carries over into the Christian faith. And that's why I don't understand. I hear certain churches saying they're a New Testament church. We don't need the Old Testament. And I say, whoa, that's not a good idea, because one complements the other. And it tells the fuller story, if you will. And so we reenact tonight what took place. Over 2,000 years ago in that upper room, Jesus said, do this in remembrance of him. And you know what I found interesting? The Greek word used for remembrance is the exact opposite of amnesia. And amnesia means forgetfulness, where we don't remember. And so what Jesus is asking for us tonight, as we break bread together, and we'll do that soon, is don't forget. You know, they said that after Pearl Harbor. We'll never forget. I said it after 9/11. I'll never forget what happened in Lower Manhattan. Well, Jesus tells us, don't forget what I'm about to share with you. Do this in remembrance of me. And so I was thinking to myself, what is he asking us not to forget? Well, I think one of the things he's asking us not to forget is God's promise. Jesus already knew that night, because it was in the text that Joan just read. He knew that the authorities were closing in. He knew what his father was asking him to do. He knew that he was in the final stretch, the final hours of his life. He was very much aware of that. He knew this was going to be the last Passover meal that he would have with his disciples on earth. And thus we call it the Last Supper. He knew this. But in verses 16 through 18, he draws attention to the celebrating the Passover again in the future. And if you had listened carefully to those words that Joan had read, listen to what it says. And he said to them, I eagerly desire to eat this Passover meal with you before I suffer. I want to dine with you tonight before I go to fulfill prophecy and my Father's will. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God. And so what Jesus is actually saying is, I realize this is my last meal with you on earth, but it won't be our last meal together. I promise you that. He reminds the disciples that the future Passover celebration will be when the kingdom of God is realized here on earth and also in the life to come. Kingdom of God just means the reign of God. And he knew that God reigns. He had no doubt about that. There was no confusion in his mind that there will be a day when he returns as a ruling king. The second coming is inevitable. It's a statement of fact. It's a promise that will be fulfilled. We know that to be true. I found it interesting. This week I was reading a few commentaries, and they said there are 1,800 references to the second coming just in the Hebrew scriptures alone, and there's 300 references in the New Testament. And so it must be important. The second coming is the central teaching to our Christian faith. It doesn't end on the cross. It doesn't end in the tomb. It doesn't even end with the resurrection. There's more to come. The second coming. The second coming is the promise that makes the present life bearable, that there's hope now and there's hope on the way. And so it's our blessed hope. I love what the Apostle Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 4:18. He says, he encourages us to remind one another of that precious hope that Jesus is alive and he will come again. And that's a promise that Christ made to us and a promise he will keep. So I think what he's saying, do this in remembrance of me, he's saying, don't have amnesia, don't be forgetful. Remember the promises of God. Remember the promises that God makes. And we also shouldn't forget, Jesus tells us, don't forget God's provision. Not just the promise, but the provision. In verse 19 that was just read in this scripture from Luke, it says, and he took the bread, he gave thanks, he broke it, he gave it to them saying, this is my body given to you in remembrance of me. Given. Provision. And so Jesus said, I am the bread of life. It's not just real bread. He's also the bread of life that we nourish on for those who claim Christ. He gave his life as a ransom for the sins of the world. I love in John chapter 1, verse 29, John the Baptist sees Jesus coming and he says, behold, the Lamb of God who will take away the sins of the world. That Jesus is the Lamb of God, that there would be no necessity to continue to do sacrifices on the altar of the temple. It's one sacrifice once and for all, and Jesus is that spotless lamb who would lay down his life for us. I love the Hebrew for provider, Jehovah Jireh, God the provider. And through Jesus Christ, he doesn't just provide us hope in the midst of hopelessness. He doesn't just provide us material blessings to get us through this life. He provides us with salvation to be saved. That will never be separated from the love of God. When you think of the original Passover, which Jesus was commemorating that night in the upper room, you think about the blood on the doorposts, right? I mean, I do. I mean, that's what they remember. They remember placing blood over the doorposts of their homes. And so when the angel of death came over, it wouldn't touch the homes of the Hebrews and that they would be spared from death. Well, the blood of Jesus does the same thing. It's a covering, just like the covering over the doorpost. Jesus's blood covers us, and death can't touch us either. Death has lost its sting, and the grave has lost its victory. I tell you, I grieve families who don't believe this. And so when death visits their home, they have no hope. It's like there's no future. There's nothing beyond the grave. And I know that we believe in the blessed assurance that there is life beyond this life. And it's real. I love what Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18 says. It says, though your sins are scarlet, like scarlet, they shall be made white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be made like wool through the washing of the blood of Jesus. There's an old gospel song. You'll hear it in many African-American churches. There's power in the blood and, you know, that awesome power in the blood of Jesus Christ. There's provision in the blood. There's thankfulness because of Jesus' shed blood. And so when you think of the original Passover, which Jesus was commemorating and celebrating that night in the upper room, the lamb was significant to the Passover meal, just as the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ himself, is significant to this night on Maundy Thursday, or Holy Thursday, the Last Supper. And in this act of communion tonight is a revelation of Jesus' sacrificial love for us. God provided himself a lamb to be slain from the foundation of the world, and his name is Jesus. God's grace And God's provision is represented in the Lamb who was slain for our sins. He became our sin offering on our behalf. Without the shed blood of the Lamb, there is no remission of sin. So when we celebrate communion tonight, and every time we celebrate communion in church, we celebrate the greatest sacrifice that was ever made in all of history. The most remarkable part of this whole idea of sacrifice for me is found in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, and it speaks so loudly to me, and I'm sure it does to you as well. God demonstrates his own love for us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ still chose to die for us. We didn't have to clean up our act. We didn't have to walk on a bed of nails. We didn't have to climb up steps on our knees until they bleed to somehow prove to God that we're repentant. While we were yet sinners, Paul says Christ died for us. And then he goes on to say, much more than that, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through Jesus Christ. And then he would say, we should rejoice in this reconciliation that God offers us through his Son, Christ Jesus. So I thank God for God's promise, and Jesus says, remember this, and for God's provision, he says, remember this, and lastly, and I close with this, remember God's plan. I hear silly arguments, sometimes from church people. It was the Jews who killed Jesus. The Jews did it. I think I shared this in a sermon one time. In the Italian homes, oftentimes they would say, Matsu Christu, the killer of Christ, when they were referring to a Jewish person. How silly that is. And I think I said this in a sermon once. If you're going to blame the Jews, it was the Italians who did it then. It was the Romans. But you know what? It wasn't the Jews, and it wasn't the Romans. If we're really honest, we put Jesus on that cross. Nobody else. It's all part of God's redemptive plan. God had a plan to redeem his people. God wanted to reconcile his relationship with his people because it had been separated and broken. And just as he has a plan for your life and mine, it's through this sacrifice how it happens. Remember that the Passover meal celebrates deliverance, right? I mean, the Jewish festival of Passover, they remember how they were delivered from the bondage of the fists of the Egyptians, from slavery. They were redeemed and delivered. And so what do we remember tonight? We remember not that we've been delivered from Egypt, but that we have been delivered from the bondage of sin on our lives. We've been set free. Just as the Jews were set free from Egypt, we have been set free from the bondage of sin. We have experienced our own Passover, passing over from death to life, from bondage to freedom, from blindness to a beautiful vision, from darkness to light, from hopelessness to hope. We could just go on with the metaphors. We have been delivered because of this sacrifice. And Jesus is calling for us tonight on this Holy Thursday, do this in remembrance of me and what I did for you. There's a lot to remember tonight because an awful lot has been done on our behalf. We shouldn't forget God's promise. We shouldn't forget God's provision, and we shouldn't forget God's plan for our lives. And we should never forget the awesome person of God, his personality, his character, and the unconditional love that he has for each of us. Because once we know who Jesus is, then we will know who we are in Jesus, that we're children of God, that we're special. That if we were the last person on the face of the earth, if we were the only person left on the face of the earth, Jesus still would have walked that Via Dolorosa and he would have been nailed to that cross for one person. That's how special we are, friends. And he calls for us tonight and for tomorrow and the next day, for as long as we have breath in our lungs. Do this in remembrance of me. Don't forget. Don't forget. The promise, the provision, and the plan. And so, Heavenly Father, I just thank you tonight that we can gather in your house and remember and choose not to forget what you did for us over 2,000 years ago. Lord Jesus, that you laid down your life for us, that you suffered the pain. You went to the cross, and you did it all just for us. And it's through that sacrifice that we are redeemed and we're in relationship with our Heavenly Father for eternity. And not even death could separate us from that awesome love. We thank you in your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.